Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Tzadi Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Ches. You will notice a triangle that appears with the point facing up. We are in the middle of a discussion that we started during our last shiur, and of course to gain maximum benefit from this, it is naturally obligatory to be fully immersed in the sugya by listening to our last shiur. Just to briefly recap without getting into the details, we saw in our previous shiur Rav Acha, and his name was highlighted with a firebox, Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, who mentioned that two slave brothers that were freed. Freeing of slaves, as we mentioned, is the equivalent of conversion, where they become full-fledged Jews. These two brothers that had been, we'll say, non-Jews and now converted, they are considered unrelated to one another, and as a result, they could actually switch wives. That means they could, each one, after having converted, that would divorce their wives, and the other, and each one can take the other one's wife. In the case of two regular Jewish brothers, that would be strictly forbidden. That's called Gerushas Achiv. Just like one's brother's wife is forbidden, the divorcee of one's brother is also strictly forbidden. What we see through Rav Acha is two brothers, however, that converted lose any, we'll say, brother identity to one another, and hence they're viewed as two strangers, and as such they could switch their wives. Now the Gemara continues with an attempt to justify Rav Acha's position. Toshma, the Omer of Yossi, Maisa be Niftim Hager. Niftim is a name, and he converted to Judaism. Shenosa, Eshes, Achiv Meimo. He married the wife of his brother, and Niftim and this fellow had a common mother. Brothers from common mother. Ubo Maisa Lifnei Chachomim, the Omru. The case came to the Chachomim, and they said, and we just skip the bracketed section momentarily, Ein Isur Eishes Ach Lager. There is no restriction, there's no prohibition of brother's wife when it comes to converts. My lav Denasva Ach Kishihu Ger. Is it not so that the woman, called the widow, she was married by the deceased brother after he had converted, so that you're dealing with a woman that halachically speaking was fully married to that man, was a regular marriage, and upon his demise the surviving brother has no problem in taking her. And we're talking about a case, even if there had been children, he still took her. There's no issue here of brotherhood. I mentioned that even if there were children, so as not to think that we're talking about some type of yibum scenario. The Gemara, and with that then, you will see proof or support to Rav Acha's position that two brothers who converted are not considered related to one another, and hence the one brother can take the wife of the other brother. Before we continue, we have a couple lines that we skipped. The Loshon, the expression within this bracket section, is not accurate, and the Gemara has to redo it as we already read the Gemara. So now we mentioned we're going back to the source and the bracketed section. We mentioned that Niftim Hager, this fellow Niftim who converted, married the wife. Another point I should have mentioned, the case with Niftim involved, they were brothers from the same mother, so of course there is no issue of Yibum that would arise in the first place, and hence there wasn't any need for me to make any reference to that there were children. Even if there are no children, when you're dealing with brothers from a common mother, so there's no Yibum to begin with. Nevertheless, we have the case of Niftim, who converted, and he ended up marrying his brother's his brother's wife. And the source said the case came to the Humvi Amru, and now we read the bracketed section. Ein Ishus Lager. There's no marriage when you're dealing with Gerim. Well, the Gemara asks, could that possibly be? Ve'elo Ger de Kodesh, Hochenami de Lo Tafsi Bo Kiddushin. A person who converts to Judaism and marries a woman, there's no marriage? That's ridiculous. Elo Emo. Rather, what the Chachamim said was Ein Isur Eishes Ach Lager. There is no prohibition of brother's wife when you're dealing with brothers that converted. My love, de nasfo ach keshuger. Is it not so that the brother that died, he had married that woman, his wife, after he converted, and that there was a full-fledged marriage here, and nevertheless, when the brother died, the surviving brother, Niftim in our case, Niftim, was able to marry her, showing that there was no brother relationship. Loi, that's not the story. The Nasva Keshu Oyved Kai Chavim. The deceased brother had married her when he was still a Gentile. And the couple converted. However, before his death, he had not had any relations with her. In other words, after his conversion, he didn't have relations with the woman, with the wife. So there was really no there was no real Jewish marriage. There was no marriage then. The fact that they were married as goyim, as Gentiles, is of no relevance to us. After he converted, he didn't renew the marriage. And as a result, the brother was taking a woman that wasn't really married to his brother. The Gemara asks, "Kishuay v'kichavim ma'ila meimra." If that was the story, that the initial marriage between the deceased brother and his wife were when they were still idol worshippers, well, it's obvious that she would be allowed to niftim. Mahu detema. Without teaching this, I would have thought ligzor kishuay v'kichavim otu kishu ger, that we should restrict this case, even where of a marriage that took place. Even though they were still idolaters, in anticipation of a marriage that took place after the conversion. And according to this approach, the marriage of a brother, two converted brothers, the marriage that they do after conversion does impose restriction. That we don't make such a restriction, i.e., in the case where the marriage was while they were still idolaters, so and it wasn't renewed, so the surviving brother can take her, but only under those circumstances. Toshma. Once again, we introduce a source that's designed to eventually show our attempt here is to show like Rav Acha. It might be noteworthy that each time the Gemara is going to try to support Rav Acha, each time these triangles appear, these upright triangles appear, and then the Gemara will reject the support with the same type answer, and it will this repeated form will be we will see here, and the form that we already saw when it said Lo Denas Peshoy V'Kavim, we're going to see that rejection after this triangle. And after the last triangle as well, the same rejection. But in the meantime, when the triangles appear, we're trying to show leniency, like Rav Acha taught, that two fellows that convert, they no longer have any brother connection. Toshma, we say two fellows, I mean two brothers that convert, after their conversion, they have no brother connection. Toshma, the Omar ben Yisayin, Kishalachti Likache Hayam, Otsosi Ger Echod, Ben Yisayin tells us a story that when I went to Krochayom to cities overseas, I found a convert, Shinoso Eshes Ochiv Meimo. He had married the wife of his brother, that they happened to have had a common mother. Omarti lo bini mihir shach, and I asked, Ben Yisayin tells us that I asked this convert, who allowed you to do that? Who allowed you to marry the wife of your brother? Omar Li, and the Ger told me, Hare Isha Vishiva Boneho Al Safsol Ze Yoshev Rabbi Akiva Vyomar Shnei Dvorim. There was a story involving a Yores, a convert, with her seven sons, that Rabbi Akiva said regarding them two things. Actually, regarding, or at that incident, upon that incident, Rabbi Akiva said two things. Number one, Ger no se eshes ochiv mimo. These seven sons, after they converted along with their mother. After they convert, they can marry the wives of one another. V'yomar vayidvar Hashem el yoino sheinis lemor. And another point that seems to be, it appears unrelated. He says, Rabbi Kiva said regarding this pasuk that says the Almighty spoke to the prophet Yonah a second time. Sheinis dibro imo shchino shlishis lo dibro imo shchino. There was a second communication, but never a third communication. We'll get back to this point later. Kotoni mias. It said in this source, Ger nose eishes ochiv meimo, that a convert, two brothers that converted, the one can marry the other's wife. My lav dinasva ochiv kishuger. Is it not so that the wife of the brother became his wife after he had converted? So you have two convert brothers, and brother number one married a woman after he converted, creating a full-fledged Jewish marriage, because he married her after he converted. And we see that upon his death, or if he divorces her, the other brother can marry her. Well, that's exactly what Rav Acha taught. So we have a support for Rav Acha. Loi. The Nasfa Kishu Oyved Kichavim. The brother had married his spouse when he was still an idolater, and he didn't renew the marriage after his conversion. So if that's the case, the Gemara asks, "My Lameimra, what do I have to tell you that the other brother can marry her? She's not married to the brother. She's as far as we're concerned, she's disconnected from his brother. So Ma'u Detema, without being taught this heter that he can marry the wife under these circumstances, the woman whom he had married before he converted, I didn't tell you that heter, I would have thought nigzar k'shuay v'kuchavim otu k'shuger. Let us restrict that case in anticipation of a brother that married a woman after his conversion. That would be usur. Of course, unlike Rav Acha, komashmon, that we don't go so far. We don't restrict the case where the brother had married her before his conversion. As you can see, we have a section of Gemara which is bracketed. You'll notice if you look carefully, there's actually a double brackets here. You have this angular brackets, and then within the bracketed section, another regular appearing brackets. We'll mention, first of all, why we have the brackets, this entire section. There's a note on the side which says, Sograyim, L'shem Diluk, these angular brackets are for skipping purposes. Kedei Lishmar, Al Retzef Al-Chos. Once again, we want to keep track, we want to maintain continuity in the proofs, all the Toshmas and their subsequent rejections. We want to keep track, want to stay on track. So by skipping this section, you'll encounter the next Toshma. B'soichom ha-gemora dona b'ne'emonus edus hager shehuva b'mokur d'leo. Within the brackets, there'll be two subjects that will be dealt with. Initially, though, we'll deal with, can we rely on that testimony that took place in the source where Ben Yassian told us his story? So in that story, let me just say that that having been said, hopefully we mapped out the Gemaras for you, which is, of course, the unique feature of Gemara markings. We can now go into the bracketed section, everyone realizing that when we hit the next Toshma, we're going back to the issue concerning the din of Rav Acha and trying to bring support to him. As we said, in the bracketed section, we're going to refer to the story in the source that featured Ben Yisayin, who met the Ger, and the Ger told him, if you're asking me who was Matir, me, to marry the wife of my brother? Well, on this bench you had Rabbi Kiva sat here and said that it's such a thing as Mutter. So now the Gemara asks, Umi Mehemon, is that testimony that the Ger told Ben Yassian, is that reliable? The Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. Rav tells us a certain rule regarding reliability. Kol Talmud Chochem Shemoyra Halacha Uba. A sage who tells us a halachic ruling. Im Koyde Maise Omra, if he tells us a halachic ruling before the incident, or before an incident that required that ruling, shomin lo, then we rely on that. In other words, the halachic ruling was said in, we'll say, in its purest form, not as, we'll say, some type of convenient answer for an incident that has taken place. The im lav, if the halachic teaching, halachic ruling was not stated prior to the incident, then ein shomin lo, then we don't rely on it. Let's glance at Rashi, about halfway down the Rashi commentary. Im koidem shebo maisel yodoi, if before the incident came about, hoya rogil lishnoisel talmidov, he was accustomed, this Talmud Chochem, this Torah sage, was accustomed to teaching this point of law to his students, then shomin lo, then we rely on that and we'll activate that and apply it to a case at hand. V'im lav, if however that was not the case, that he wasn't teaching this ruling beforehand, hoyol dvar chidushu, since the point, the halachic ruling is a novel point, shemo b'shvil maise shebo liyodoi oimro, it might be because of the incident that happened, and only because of that incident did he say what he did. And as such, we can't rely on it. We can't apply it certainly to other cases. As you can see, we have a series marking, the double underline, and under the Mivneh heading on the side, these are Tshuvos, La She'elo Mimehemon. These are three answers to the question, can we rely on that which this Ger had told Ben Yassian? So the Gemara answers, number one, Iboy Seimo Moira Ubohoya. In fact, this halachic ruling was something that had been taught earlier, before the Ger had married his brother's wife. So it was already a known ruling, and not some ruling that came up that was stated just as a result of his having married his brother's wife. V'iboyaseima, Mishum de Ka'omar Hare Isha Vishiva Bonel. The reliability of the Ger is because he cited, in fact, an earlier incident that upon which Rabbi Akiva had ruled thusly. So he was citing legal precedent, which is, of course, very reliable and gives him believability. The incident involving Rabbi Akiva and his ruling that the sons of the sons that had converted are entitled to marry each other's wife. Another approach is that, in fact, even though maybe this Ger was reporting a teaching that we had not heard before, but nevertheless we rely on it because along with his report concerning Rabbi Akiva's ruling on the brothers that converted, Rabbi Akiva had said something else. That's the Maisachrino, the issue concerning Yonah and the Pasuk. And since we rely on that point, Rabbi Akiva's explanation of the Pasuk, so we will rely on this point as well concerning Rabbi Akiva's ruling of Ger no se eshes ochiv mi'imo. Now you can see that we have another brackets. We call this an internal brackets, and the reason for this is simply to show the boundaries of the discussion that are dedicated to the pasuk in Yonah. So we quote from above, Omar Mar, and if you have any trouble finding it, so use the little star on the side of the Gemara text to find where this is a quote from. It said above, Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Yonah Shenis Lemor. Shenis dibro imo shchina, shlishis lo dibro imo. Rabbi Akiva had said that the word shenis teaches us that the divine presence had communicated with Yonah a second time, but not a third time. The Gemara asks, how can you say that the Almighty communicated with Yonah only two times? V'haksiv hu heshiv es gvul Yisrael milavo chamos ad yam ha'arava. Kedvar Hashem asher diber biyad avdoy yoino ben amitai hanovi. This pasuk is found in Malachim Beis, and it deals with the king Yerovam ben Yoyosh, and it mentions Yerovam ben Yoyosh's, we'll say, his military victories. He was able to restore the boundaries of Israel as the Almighty spoke through the prophet Yonah. So this is a clearly an additional incident, more than a third time beyond the two communiques that appeared in the book of Jonah. Omar Ravina. Ravina explains, he's the first of two approaches. He says, in fact, there were more than two communiques between the Almighty and Jonah. What does Shanis then mean? Al iske ninve komar. The two communiques between Hashem, the Almighty, and the prophet, the two communications were with regard to Nineveh. But as far as other matters are concerned, there were other communications. So the two is a reference to two matters concerning Nineveh. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar. Rav Nachman has a different approach to explaining the pasuk. Hochi ka'omar. Kidvar Hashem asher diber biyad avdoi hanovi, as Hashem had spoken to Yonah, k'shem shenepach l'ninve meiro l'toivo, just like in the time of Yonah and the matters regarding Ninve, there was a turn from the negative to the positive. Kach bimei Yerovam ben Yoyosh nepach lem l'Yisrael meiro l'toivo. So too in the times of Yerovam, there was a turnaround for the Jewish people from bad to good. So that Yonah was spoken to by the Almighty, according to Rav Nachman, only two times. The reference in the to Yonah in the Pasuk of Yerovam ben Yoyosh was simply for analogy purposes. That namely, just like in the time of Nineveh, there was a turn from bad to good. So too, in the time of Yerovam ben Yoash, there was a turn from the bad to the good. Toshma. And as we've mentioned already today in our shiur a few times, again, we're trying to show that Rav Acha's ruling concerning two brothers that converted or that were freed from slavery are not considered related to one another, and hence one can take the other one's wife. Toshma ger shohoya leidoso b'kedusha v'hirosu shelo b'kedusha. A convert whose birth was in kedusha, was after his mother had converted, but his conception was before the mother had converted. Yesh lo she'er ho'em ve'en lo she'er ha'av. He's considered to have family connections through the mother, but not through his father. Ketzad, noso achoso min ho'em yotzi. If this convert were to have married a sister from the mother, a woman, a girl that was born when the mother was still an idolatress. So, rabbinic on a rabbinic level, on a Torah level, as we saw before, ger shenizgayer kekotin sheno ladomi. That was a concept we saw before, that a child, that a person that converts is considered like he's newly born, but and as a result of the mother converting and then bearing this son, there is no halachic Torah connection between this son and his sister that was born while the mother was still an idolatress. But nevertheless, on a rabbinic level, if this son had married his sister, this particular woman, we would say that they have to split. Rashi elaborates. We'll look at Rashi close to the end of the column. Noso achoso minoem shenolda biyoisa oivedes kechom. She was born when the mother was still a Gentile. Yotzi, this brother has to divorce her. Viavagav de lavachoso. He, even though technically speaking, it's not his sister, de kekotan shenolda domi, he's considered like someone born anew. Even the mother is considered like someone that was born anew. Gzeira dilmosi leminsa vachosu shenolda acharov. If we allow him to stay with her, people will allow him to marry a sister that's born after he was born. Tabaiko kores. There would be a kores punishment for such a bonding. The leidas shnei b'kedusha. The birth of both of them was after their mother had converted. And it would be like a full-fledged Jew that bore a son and a daughter, where of course brother and sister cannot marry. So we're dealing here on a rabbinic level, that if a fellow marries his sister that his mother bore before the mother had converted, they still must split. Yotzi must divorce her. Min ho'av yikayim. If he marries a sister from through a common father, so he can stay with her. The Rashi says min ho'av yikayim shakol yoidim de'ein av la'ovei kechovim. Everyone knows that there is no fatherhood when it comes to idolaters. So that here you have a fellow who was born from a woman who had converted, and as the source said, it was Horoso was Shaloba Dusha's conception was before the mother had converted. Upon the conversion, there is no connection to the father whatsoever, and the fellow who marries his sister that happened to have been born from the same father, so same father, not same mother, so he can stay with her. Achos ho'av min ho'em yotzi. If this fellow married his father's sister, the father and this woman having the same mother, common mother, Yotzi. So he must divorce her. And the reason for that is it's a rabbinic requirement in anticipation of Achoso Minoim. Here we're talking about Achoso Av Minoim, his father's sister through a common mother. We're banning that, we're forbidding that in anticipation of your sister from a common mother. Another case, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Min Ho'av Yikayim. If it's an Achoso Av, it's your father's sister from a common father, so a woman like that you can stay married to. This ger can stay married to her. Achos Ho'em. Now, let's talk about the ger's mother's sister. Min Ho'em Yotzi. If it's a mother's sister from a common mother, he must divorce her. Min Ho'av. It's a mother's sister because they have a common father. Rabbi Meir Omer Yotzi V'Chachomim Omrim Yikayem. Rabbi Meir is restrictive. He's stricter. He says you must divorce, and the Chum say the ger can stay with her. Shohoya Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Erva Shehi Mishum She'er Ho'em Yotzi. Any relationship that has a mother element to it, a relationship through motherhood, so you must divorce her. Mishum Ho'av Yikayem. If the relationship is through father, so then you can stay with them. All of that is basic, we'll say, is preamble, is not directly related to what we are discussing. But here is where things become important. Umutur bi'eshes ochiv. A person who we saw was Hoyroso Yishalo Bigdusha Veledosa Bigdusha. He can marry the wife of his brother. Uve'eshes achi oviv, and the wife of his father's brother. Ushar kol haroes mutaros lo, and all other forbidden relations are mutter for him. Lasuye eshes ho'av. When we say all other relatives, we're including the wife of the father. Now the source goes on with gerim in general, converts in general, a person who converted to Judaism. And it was Nosa Isha Ubita. When he was still an idolater, he had married a woman and her daughter, mother and daughter. So Nosa Isha Ubita, someone like that, someone who had, while he was a Gentile, had married a mother and daughter, and then converted with them to Judaism. Koines Achas Umotzi Achas. He takes in one, he keeps one, and divorces one, so that people would not think that in general Jews can be married to mothers and daughters. L'chadchila lo yichna. So this expression needs clarification. It's kind of obvious when you say you have to get rid of one and stay with the other, so of course you shouldn't marry them as a first choice. Mesa ishto mutur b'chamoso. If the wife dies, if the ger's wife dies, he can marry her mother-in-law. Now, again, we're talking about a case where he had married as a Gentile a mother and daughter, and when the wife dies, he is allowed to marry her mother. V'ikah detani osur b'chamoso. Some teach that he cannot marry the mother-in-law. Kotoni mihas. It, however, said in this source, and this is what we want to focus on initially, it's mutar bi'eshes achiv, that the convert is allowed to marry the wife of his brother. The Rashi we would like to look at before we go further in the Gemara. Rashi on the fourth line from the top, mutar bi'eshes achiv. V'afilu me'imo. It's a brother from a common mother. Now this brother was born Shinolad Bioso Oived Kechavim. Was born when she was still an idolatrous woman. Velo Gozu Rabbonon Mishum Eshes Ochiv Hanolad Acharov. And you can see that there is no restriction in anticipation of a case of a brother's wife, a brother born after him, after this brother that was born from the mother that had already converted. The bekurva gozur rabbanon aval b'midi delosi al yadei kiddushin lo gozur. In matters of actual direct relations, so we impose restrictions, but in matters that are called relatives that come about through marriage, as is the case here, we're talking about the wife of the brother, so there the rabbis didn't impose any restrictions. So the Gemara, as we said, extracts or cites the main point that it's mutter, that the fellow can marry his brother's wife. My lav the nosfa ochiv kishu ger. Is it not so that we're talking about the brother had married this particular woman after he had converted, so that you have a full-fledged kosher marriage between a convert and his wife, and the convert has a brother was born to him from the same woman who had conceived the surviving brother when she was still idolatrous and subsequently converted and then bore the brother. The surviving brother can marry the wife of his brother. So this would, and the marriage between the deceased brother and his wife had taken place after that fellow had already converted. That would then support Rav Acha. Loi, that's not the case. The nosva kishu oivid kichavim. The deceased brother had married her while he was still a Gentile, and he had not renewed the marriage, so that when the deceased brother had converted together with his spouse but didn't renew the marriage, so upon the conversion there is a break in any marital connection between them. Hence the surviving brother in effect is not marrying his brother's wife. She's not considered his wife anymore to begin with. And not only that, she was never considered his wife because of the rule of cotton of ger shenizgar ki cotton shenola domi. The Gemara asks, "Myla meimra, if those are the circumstances, so why does it need to be taught? It's obvious that a man can marry his brother's wife if he had married her before he converted and never renewed their connection. So mahu the tema, without having been taught that heter, I would have thought." We should restrict the case of the brother having married her before his conversion in anticipation of the case of his marrying her after conversion, in which we would be restrictive. So we're informing you that we do not go so far. But as far as two brothers that married women after they had converted, we would not allow one to marry the other's brother. Again, leaving us with a feeling of rejection of Rav Acha. Omar Mar, a quote from that which we saw above. Nosa isha ubita, kone sachas umotzi achas. If a ger, a convert, before he converted, had married, while he was still an idolater, a woman and her daughter. So you're taking two. The source taught us after he converts with them, so he stays with one and the other he sends away. So the Gemara asks, in terms of the language in that source. Hashta fuki mapik. Here you're telling me he has to get rid of them. He has to get rid of one of them. L'chabchilo mibaya. Do I need to be taught that as an initial choice that he shouldn't take them? That's obvious. So the Gemara answers, Hosam koi v'hochi ko'omar. The term in the source, which said l'chadchila lo yichnos, is not going on that which appeared directly or immediately before it, but rather it's a throwback to something else. Hach di omer rabbonon yikayem. The rabbonon had ruled that a person can marry a convert can marry a sister that he had through a common father. That's what the Rabbanan rule, that you can, if a man had married a sister that he had from a common father, and then they convert, he can stay with her. So that point of Yikayim, l'chadchilo lo yichnos, but as a first choice, he shouldn't take such a wife. If a man had converted, and the sister that happened to be born to his father before the conversion, so even though technically speaking after they convert they're not related to one another, but as a first choice he shouldn't choose her as his spouse. The convert should not marry his biological sister after she converted. That's not a good first choice as a wife. If however he had done so, the Rabbanan taught us already he can stay with her. Meso ishto mutter b'chamoso, v'iko detoni osur b'chamoso. Once again, we're talking about a case where a man had married while he was a goy. He had married a woman and the daughter. So he has, in effect, a wife with her mother-in-law, if you will. And then they converted. So we were taught in the source that he should divorce one and keep the other. However, it was also taught, Meso ishto mutter b'chamoso. If the daughter dies, he can marry her mother, his mother-in-law. And the iko detani osur b'chamoso. There's a teach, he should not marry her mother. The Gemara explains, Chado k'Rabbi Shmuel v'chado k'Rabbi Kiva. One of these opinions, of these rulings, reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the other reflects the ruling of Rabbi Akiva. Mand osar, the restrictive opinion, k'Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar, Rabbi Shmuel, who holds in general, when you're dealing with regular Jewish marriages, he says, Chamoisoi li'achar miso b'isura kaimo, just like a mother-in-law is prohibited when one's wife is alive. Even after one's wife dies, the halachic prohibition of marrying one's wife's mother remains. The gabi ger gozru be rabbonin. And in our case, when we're dealing with the converts, the rabbis imposed a similar restriction. That even though you're dealing with people that converted and they're technically speaking not related to one another, but nevertheless, it's biologically, you are dealing with the mother of your wife. So that if one's wife died, you should not marry her mother. Uman deshari, k'Rabbi Akiva, the opinion in this source that says with regard to the people that had, the fellow that married the mother and daughter while still idolaters and altogether converted, the opinion that says that when the wife dies he is allowed to marry her mother, that's k'Rabbi Akiva. D'yomar chamoso li'achar miso kolash le'isura, that in the case of a regular Jewish situation the level of prohibition drops. Maybe we should have mentioned with regard to Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, in a regular Jewish situation where a man's wife dies, he is forbidden to his mother-in-law with the full level prohibition as existed when the wife was alive, punishable by sreifa, by court execution. According to Rabbi Akiva, when one's wife dies, when you're dealing with regular Jewish marriages, and this of course is a topic we learned earlier in previous Dapim, that according to Rabbi Akiva, when one's wife dies, the mother-in-law is no longer usher to the tune of a capital offense. She is forbidden, but not punishable by court execution. So according to Rabbi Akiva, where a mother-in-law after one's wife dies in a regular Jewish situation is a lower level offense, kolash means it's weakened, kolash leis, where the isur, the prohibition is reduced, is weakened, v'gabi ger lo gozru be rabbonin. And in the case of the convert couple, there the rabbis didn't impose any restriction whatsoever. So that if a man, while a goy had married a mother and daughter, and he divorced, we'll say, his the mother of the one he chooses to remain with, and then the woman dies, he can then take her mother and marry her. As we continue, we have a new topic heading introducing this Mishnah, and we also want to note that this topic lasts till that Tzadi Tesom Adveh. It's a very long topic. Taruvos Vlados. We're going to deal with children that are born, and then a mix-up takes place, and halachas that apply to mix-ups. Chamesh, the Mishnah. Chamesh Noshim Shinis Arvu Vlodosayan. Five women, we'll say, in a cave. And each woman, let's say they entered the cave in darkness, and while they were pregnant, and they bore children in darkness, and the children got mixed up, and we can no longer associate a particular child with its specific mother. Now, another point that must be added, and of course we see this in Rashi, each one of these women have another son that they know is their son. It's a ben vadai, that concerning whom there was no mix-up. Higdilu hata'aruvos v'nosu noshim umesu. The five boys that had gotten mixed up, they grew, they matured, they married women, and they died. They died, leaving no children. So you have here five people. Each one has a brother, but he doesn't know who his brother is. And you have five men that knew they had brothers, and they know their brothers died, but they cannot identify the widow of his specific brother. So now you've got five women that we know that their husbands had brothers, and collectively we know who the brothers are. They're five men that are brothers of these five men that got mixed up. The problem is that these women need to be released from a Yibum bond. But we don't know regarding any specific women, any specific woman, who is the brother of their deceased husband. So what do we do? The Mishnah continues. Arba'o Cholzin Le'achas. Four of the five surviving men, surviving brothers, four of them will do chalitza with one of the women. The echod miyabeim osa, and the fifth man will marry her, will be able to marry her. Why will he be able to marry her? If it's in fact the widow of his brother, great, he did the mitzvah Yibum. And if the woman is not the widow of his brother, she nevertheless received chalitza. She was released by the actual brother of her husband. So this fifth man is able to marry her. So she's taken care of. So now, one woman is married. There are four women that remain. Four women that received chalitza. Hu ushloisha cholzin le'achas. He, the one that did Yibum, will, along with three others, do chalitza to a second woman. So now this woman has received four chalitzas, the echad miabim, and the fifth man will marry her as we already explained, there's nothing wrong in his marrying her. If the fifth man happens to be the brother of her husband, then he's done Yibum. And if not, she has nevertheless been released by the actual brother who was amongst those four fellows that gave her, that did Chalitza with her. Nimtzu, the result, when you tally up everything that will have happened here, you'll find Arba Chalitzos V'yibum L'chol Achas V'achas. When you take any given woman, she'll have received four, she'll have been participatory in four Chalitzas and married by one of those men. The Gemara points out that which might be obvious to some of you, V'davka Michlatz V'oder Yevumi. The order is very important, that when we speak about the Chalitza and Yibum in this Mishnah, it's essential that first any given woman received four Chalitzas, and then she marries the fifth man. Aviyavumi Bere Shalom, but to suggest that the woman does Yibum at the beginning, before she receives Chalitza, that's not allowed. The Kopoga Biyavama Lashuk, because if a man approaches a woman before she receives Chalitza, he doesn't know that he is the brother of her husband, of that specific woman's husband. And if he's not the brother of her husband, so she is bound to someone else, and his relationship with her would be a Yevoma Lashuk, which is prohibited. The Torah prohibits. The Pasuk says, Lo Sia Eishes Hameis Hachutza Liish Zar. The Gemara continues with a question concerning the text. My Hu Ushloisha Chotzin Liachas. The source, the Mishnah, taught that after one of the men, after dealing with the first woman, the first woman received four chalitzas, and then the fifth man marries her. Why is the continuation of the Mishnah necessary in this specific form? Now, before we go on in the Gemara, in order to appreciate this section, Rashi that appeared on the Mishnah will be quite helpful. Let us look at that together, about a little more than halfway down the page. Hu Ushlosha, this is Rashi on the Mishnah. Hu Ushlosha, Ze Sheyibem, the fifth man with regard to the first woman that married her, Choletz Lacheres, he will participate in Chalitza with a second one of the women, Ushlosha Imo, and three other men that are with him, V'chamishim Yabim, and the fifth man there will marry her. Mimonav Shach, either way you look at it. As we said before, it's if he hits bullseye that that's actually the widow of his actual brother, great. And if not, she was released by the actual brother, and he can now marry her. This fellow can marry her. V'choizrin Hashnaim Halalu. Now we've got two married men. These two will come back to the third woman. The Cholzin, L'shlishis, Hashnaim Emoem. These two married men and the two others will do Chalitza with her. V'achamishi Miabeim. V'chein Kulam. And likewise down the road with all of them. Arba Cholzin Tchila. Four first do Chalitza. L'vishein Echot Rasho Liabeim. Ad Shichatzula Arba. T'lo Lipoga Bivom Alashuk. First, the four chalitzas are necessary with regard to each woman, so that you don't have a situation of a man marrying prematurely, whereby he might be encountering a yevoma that's bound to someone else. That's called yevoma lashuk. And now, the key point for our Gemara: v'hu hadinami, demotzu arba'a lemichlitz lekulhu. You could have had a situation like this where we have these five men who never got mixed up, the five surviving men, each one respectively having a brother but just not knowing which one it was. You could have had four of these surviving men doing chalitzas, four chalitzas, these four men doing chalitz with each one of the women, lekulu, with four men doing chalitza with all five women. The chamishi, the fifth man, he saw as kulan. If the five women received chalitza from the four men, so each one of the five women was participatory in chalitza with four of the men, so each woman has certainly been released by her husband's, her deceased husband's brother. Now, you say the fifth man didn't do chalitza? Okay. That fifth man, when he, with respect to each one of the women, it might be the brother of their deceased husband. And if he's not the brother of the deceased husband, the actual brother of the deceased husband had already done chalitza with her. Therefore, the fifth man could marry all of them. Elo amrinon ba gemara dehochi shapir tfei. The gemara will say, and this is the gemara we're about to learn, so that the approach that we said before is better. Dilmo lecholchad mitzrimi didei umekayma mitzisibum. Because the way we said earlier, you're enabling, at least there's a chance that any given man will be marrying the widow of his actual brother. If you were, however, to adopt this last method where one man at the end marries all five, so then we are precluding the possibility of any of the others of having done the actual mitzvah of Yibum. True, they do chalitza, but the actual mitzvah Yibum, that they are being denied. So now that's what the Gemara is asking about over here. We'll read that line, the line we read already again in the Gemara. My hu ushloisha chotzim la'achas. What is the Mishnah's agenda in having specifically him, he who already did Yibum, being one of the chotzim in the next, with regard to the next woman? Rashi, by the way, my hu shlosha, my ichpas lon I chalsi lo hanoch arbo gufayu v'hai diyibem l'kamaiso liyabem nami hach. Why is it so important in the eyes of the Mishnah that the one who had done Yibum with the first one to have done Yibum, that he now is participatory in the chalitza with the next woman? Leave him aside. He married the first woman. Let him stay aside, and the other four men will do chalitza with the second woman, and this fellow will marry a second wife, and on down the line, like we saw in Rashi in the Mishnah. So the question once again is, why the procedure as we already described it? Each one that does Yibum, he then turns into, he joins the others that are doing chalitza with the subsequent woman. So the Gemara answers, the lo tema liminu chad likulhu. We don't want one to do Yibum with all of the widows. Elo kolchad v'chad miabim chada. But rather, as we said earlier, each man will marry one of the women. Dilma misramulei didei. At any given point, he might be hitting a bullseye that he's actually marrying the widow of his brother. We continue in the Gemara with a Tanaic source, but after we read the source, the Gemara is going to ask my Kalmar. In other words, what we're going to read now is not clear, and then the Gemara will clarify it. Tonu Rabbonan, Miksoson Achin u Miksoson She'ein Achin. In the confusion, so some are brothers, and some are not brothers. The brothers do chalitza and the non-brothers do yibum. Well, that in and of itself doesn't make any sense. My koma, what is being said over here? So as we said, this source is unclear. My ko'omar, what is it saying? Omar Rav Safra Hochi ko'omar. Once again, this source is dealing with the case of the Mishnah, where there were five women that gave birth and in a cave, as we said before, and the children got mixed up, and each one of the five women had a son that we knew was there, where each woman knew which one was their son. So the source is to be read as follows: Miktsoson Achin Mino Av Umiktsoson Achin Mino Aim. Amongst this group, there were brothers from a common father, and there was a case of one of the brothers, one of the known children, had a brother from a common mother, not a common father. Achin minoim choltsin. The achin minoav miyavmin. A fellow who knew that amongst the mixed up children was a brother that he had through his mother and not through his father. So this fellow who knows that, he cannot do yibum with any of the women, because any one of the women might be the widow of his brother from a common mother. And of course, that kind of relationship is strictly forbidden. So those of the of the fellows who know who their parents are, if he knows that one of the children in the mix-up is a brother, but only through the mother and not through the father, As we say now, the Achim Minoim are Choltsin, and the fellows that know that they have brothers through a common father as well, so they can do Yibum. Of course, when we speak about they're doing Yibum, it's after the given woman had received the four Chalitzes from the other fellows. Miktsosim Kayanim, Miktsosim She'enon Kayanim. If amongst these there are Kayanim and those that are not Kayanim, as you know, a Kohen is prohibited from marrying a Chalutza. So Kayanim Choltsim, the Kohanim will participate in the Chalitza. However, they cannot do Yibum. Any given woman will have received already Chalitzas from all the other men. So if the last man is a Kohen, he's going to be confronted with a Chalutza. So he cannot marry her. She'enon Kohanim Miyavmin. Those that are not Kohanim can do Yibum after, of course, the woman that they'll do Yibum with had received Chalitza from each one of the others. Miktsosan Kohanim u'miktsosan Achin Minoim. If this group is made up of the group of the known fellows who are confronting the widows of all those they got mixed up, and this group is made up of Kehanim and people who know that they had a brother from a common mother alone, so then Eilu v'Eilu Choltsin v'lo Miyabmin. Then the Kehanim and the others that are there that knew they had brothers from a mother alone, Chalitza is done. Only Chalitz is done, and there is not going to be any evil. So that if the surviving people, each one knowing that they had a brother in there, the surviving people are the five people that are Kehanim and cases of Achen Minoim. So each one of these five will, let's say each widow will then receive five Chalitzes, and not four and then doing Yibum, but rather five Chalitzes, because these men are not eligible to do Yibum. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.